And welcome back to Coast AM. Gosh, you know that we have so much going on these days. I want to spend a little time with you and let you sound off and react to just about everything that's going on. Plus, those of you who are out there truck driving, share some of your bizarre stories with us too. Things you've seen on the road. Ghostly figures. Speaking about that, pretty soon we're going to be putting up an email on the coasttocoastam.com website about Ghost to Ghost. We're getting ready for that program. And we're going to want to solicit some of your stories beyond the open line calls that we will take that night. So be ready for that. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Good to be with you. Here we are in October already. I was talking with Dan and Tom about that today, how quickly this year has flown by. Might be, at least for me, the fastest year I have ever gone through. I mean, it's gone. To the phones we go. Richard's in Alabama. Let's get us started, Richard. Go ahead.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Say hello to Matt and Sam and Rodney, your religious listeners to Coast to Coast.
Super.
And I want to let you know, about a month and a half ago, my buddy Matt was working night shifts in the jail, stepped out back to take smoke, and he saw a perfect isosceles triangle flying real low, steady speed, had a red and a green light on the rear of it. He notified one of our guys that was working, and they followed it all the way to our jurisdictional line and said it looked like it dropped the flare out of it. Made no noise, no sound, nothing.
How big?
He said it was low enough that if you looked at it with a ruler, it would look like it was 6 inches long. It was that low, and you couldn't see it from a mile away when it got over the horizon. It was so low.
So at least maybe 100, 200 feet long.
I would estimate, yeah.
You never know what's going on there. What'd you think?
Him and one of the other guys talked about it, said they thought it might be an aurora.
Well, you know what? That's a long time ago. I've long believed that these things are man-made, except the real big ones. Those that are a mile long, no, I don't think we've made those. Let's go to Terry in Toronto, Canada, international line. Hi, Terry. Go ahead.
Hi, George. First off, belated thanks for just a wonderful show when you were up here in June.
I had a great time there.
Boy,
As a matter of fact, they want me back in Toronto next year. I think I'm going to do it.
Oh, great. I'll be there. I could sit and listen to you interviewing Stanton Friedman for 8 hours.
How did you like my singing ability?
It was a surprise.
That's what I'm going to get out of you?
when you get to Vegas, let me know.
All right. Yeah, that'll be years.
actually, Giorgio, I wanted to ask you a question. As a fellow who probably keeps irregular hours,
yes,
I was wondering if you have any personal tips or tricks you can pass on how you manage to get any kind of quality sleep while maintaining an irregular schedule.
Well, you know, that's a good question. Let me tell you what my work schedule is in Los Angeles and my work schedule in St. Louis, because the show, though I'm live at the same time physically, they're different times, obviously, because of the time change. So when I'm in St. Louis, I'm on the air from midnight to 4 a.m., and a lot of stations, of course, rerun the program after that as well. And, I'll get home, I'll get to bed probably about 5, and I'll be up in St. Louis. I try to get up around 11 o'clock in the morning, prep the show, and do what I have to do. So I only get about 6 hours sleep. In Los Angeles, get off the air at 2 in the morning, get home about 3-ish, get to bed around that time. I'd like to be up by 9:30, 10 o'clock. So I don't get much sleep. I never have. It's been years. I hope it doesn't one day haunt me for that. I just keep going. Once in a blue moon, I get tired and the body slows down and everything else. It's easier to take a nap in St. Louis than it is in Los Angeles, believe it or not. I'm in the office in L.A. from 2 to 2 every day. That's pretty intense. But that's it. That's the schedule. Let's go to John in Olean, New York, east of the Rockies. John, your turn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to say it seems like everybody's wide awake as far as your listeners on this show. And I've heard a couple of listeners take shots or references at the bank. So there's something real easy that everybody can do if they're really serious about getting these banks out of the way. And that's invest just a little bit of money, like less than $40 right now, in an ounce of silver. I heard something the other day that if 100,000 people invested in just an ounce of silver, that J.P. Morgan would be forced to take notice. So, and like I said, it's only a $40 investment.
I think it's a great buy. Silver's a great buy right now.
Well, yeah, and that's about all I wanted to say. Thanks for providing a good show. I'm up every night listening with my daughter, and we just really enjoy listening to you out here. So thank you.
Okay. Planning ahead. Live programs for you on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day night. Program directors, make note of that so you don't have to run shows with just Christmas music. We'll do that in our bumper music, but you'll have live shows there. New Year's Eve, New Year's night, same thing, live programs for you there. Thanksgiving night, live program as well. Lots of new guests. And, of course, our special program on December 21st, it'll be a Friday night. The Mayan calendar end date. Finally, we're coming to the end. When I started, which, by the way, my 10-year anniversary will be January. When I started and I said, you know what, 2012, that's so far away. I can't believe 10 years have gone by already. But what's going to happen? I have continually said it was a solar event, and I still think that's what it's going to be. Maybe not on that day, but eventually it's going to be. Billy's in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Billy. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
A couple years ago, I was drinking with some friends, and when my friend who was sober brought me home, my wife went inside to unlock the door, and I saw a bright light, like a really white light. And my friend who was sober, he saw the same thing, so we looked around.
Now, you say your friend was sober. Were you?
No, I wasn't.
You weren't. Okay.
I got sober really fast.
I guess so. So where was the light? In the house?
No, it was outside. I was in the van getting ready to get out, and I saw a light, like somebody is scanning someone. And neighbors saw it, too, and we're just looking around. We couldn't see nothing or hear nothing.
What do you think it was?
I don't know, but I was always into space stuff, but ever since that happened, I'm always interested in that.
Now, how drunk were you before you saw the light?
Oh, I drank, like, a bottle of tequila.
Billy, that'll kill you. You can't drink a bottle of tequila.
But I didn't drink the whole thing. We split with me and my other friend.
Were you sick the next day?
No.
That's amazing. At least you're smart enough not to drive.
Yeah, I make sure I never drive drunk, ever.
Nope. Don't do that. It's not worth it. Lynn in Florida, welcome to the show. You there? Nope, not ready yet. There you go. Hi, Lynn.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us. That's quick, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, in the early 70s, I was a long-distance operator in Reno, Nevada.
All right.
And a phone call came in. A woman said that she had been trying to reach her daughter, couldn't reach her. She felt it was an emergency because the daughter's husband had just been released from jail. So we called, and the phone rang and rang and rang. And finally, the girl answered. And it turned out that the phone, that her husband had been there. He had their little three-year-old daughter on the floor with his big work boot on her throat. He was threatening to step down on her throat and kill her when the phone started ringing.
Unbelievable.
And it scared him off. So the mom said, you know, to the operator, call the police. So the police went out there. And, of course, by then we were holding the line up. It was the old court board. We were holding the line up as an emergency. The police got there, started asking the operator. I was in on the call, too, but asking the operator, who told you to call this number? And we said, well, the woman's mother told us to call this number because she was worried about her daughter. So we went through all that. They said, hold up this line. Pretty soon, the officer came back on and said, well, where is this call coming from? And we said, we don't know. And they said, well, hold the line up. We, you know, it was the grandmother calling. The officer said, well, the mother says that the grandmother has been deceased for quite some time. It couldn't be her mother calling.
Grandmother saved her.
Right. So we continued to hold the line with a red cord marker on it, that it was an emergency. Finally, one of the men from the plant department came up because they wanted to trace the line to see where this call had actually come from. And I was actually then holding that line up, and he came around and he said, well, where is that? So we showed him. He went to the back of the board for the operators. He opened that up. He started to trace the line, and he said, has anybody moved this? And we said, no, of course not. We've got the red cord on it. We all know it's an emergency. We've been holding it up. By then, all of us knew the story. It was it was probably after midnight that this happened. He came back around the board, and he was just white as a ghost, and he said to me, there's nothing connected to that line. It goes into a blank space in the board.
That's a miracle there, Lynn.
It's not only a miracle, it's I think it's that the mom could get through like that.
And what happened to the sicko who had his boot on the little child?
I never found out the end of the story other than...
I assume they arrested him, right?
Oh, I'm sure they went after him, yeah. I'm sure they went after him. He was the dad, and he had been, he had been in prison, but that night, that's all we knew. And, of course, all of us, our hair stood on end because clearly this grandmother had said, call my daughter. I'm afraid for her. She told us the whole story, but we never heard anything more.
Okay, Lynn, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jared in Encino, California on the wildcard line. Hey, Jared, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Good to have you with us.
Yeah, you've got a great show. I just wanted to come on and talk about a few recent UFO sightings I've had. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe someone will call in and tell me, like, no, what you in fact saw was, you know, some celestial body or something like that. But I was recently visiting Chicago, and, I'd been walking around, enjoying the city and the skyline. I just kind of was sitting in the park and, you know, looking up at the sky. And it was maybe 2 p.m, and way, way up in the sky, you know, when a plane flies by, you can tell it's a plane. They only fly at a certain height. And this looked like it was easily twice that high, and you could tell it was very bright. You could tell it was metallic and kind of like shining in the sunlight. And I was sitting with my girlfriend, and she doesn't believe anything like that. And we were both kind of entranced by this object. And we watched it for almost 2 hours, just sitting in this park, and it just didn't move one inch at all. And eventually we had to go, and it started to get dark. But
well, I got to tell you, there's nothing more, I think, miraculous and strange than looking at an object like that. And you know there's something weird about it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it. Let's take a few more calls before the break. We'll go to Tommy Hawk, Wisconsin. Karen's with us on Coast to Coast. Karen,
hi.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I love your show. God, I love this show.
Well, me too.
I wanted to ask you about a theory that somebody had brought up to me, lead paint. They say, you know, okay, kill you and all this. And I believe that, you know, it can harm the body. But what about the reason why it's not allowed on our homes is because the government can't see through it.
You never know. You never know. Right? But you know what? I got to tell you, when I was a kid in school, remember we used to have those lead pencils?
Oh, yeah.
How often? We had them in our mouths all the time.
Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden it's going to hurt the kids. Like, they really worry about our kids? I don't think so. So that's a theory that's worth, you know, thinking about, I guess.
You never know. You never know. Tom's in Baltimore, Maryland. Tom, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning. The last caller might have a point. I'll tell you, even with asbestos, if you're not chewing it up and eating it and breaking it up and breathing it, it's not going to hurt you. The same with lead paint. What I was calling about, though, is the previous caller talking about getting a good night's rest and getting proper sleep. And I think he made mention that we have an irregular schedule. And I wanted to point out that I don't think that those of us who keep hours at night are on an irregular schedule at all. I think we're on the schedule that we're supposed to be on. And I think it's just as normal as our daytime counterparts. I think we can take pride in the fact and also feel good about the fact that we're a smaller group. And in a very real sense, we share a special relationship, almost like a family. And we reach out through the radio and through other means. And I just wanted people to know that if you're up at night and you're healthy and you're eating right, don't think of yourself as irregular. You're right where you're supposed to be.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Let's go to some more calls. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Salisbury, Maryland.
Well, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Thank you. When I'm 62 now. When I was 8, my brother was 4 years older than I am. My father owned a restaurant in Philadelphia. And we closed up at 2 o'clock in the morning. My brother and I were standing outside while my mom and dad were closing up the restaurant. And we see this little orange dot in the sky. And I have never told many people about this, especially my father, because my father was a crazy Sicilian. And he would lock us up in a basement or something.
Right.
But we're looking at this dot, and it was like an orange little dot. And all of a sudden, it got bigger and bigger and came right at us. And all of a sudden, it hovered over us. It was huge, nothing but a big, round, orange, fiery-looking sphere, but it wasn't hot. You can almost reach up and touch it.
Did it look like a little sun?
It was more orange than a sun, and it stayed there for maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute, but I mean, we were just shocked standing there. And all of a sudden, it just took off, and that was it. And like I said, we haven't told many people about this, especially my parents.
Well, you're a believer now, aren't you?
Well, you know, yeah, I am. But like I said, I was 8 years old, and at 8 years old, you know, you try to comprehend of what's going on, you know?
Well, those are always great stories. By the way, Dr. Robin Falco sent me a little note and said that the pencils that we used to gnaw on in school were graphite, not lead. That's why we're still here. That's why we're not sick. And we're going to continue with more open lines. By the way, we take your text questions as well. So Tom will take one next half hour when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And then I'll tell you what's in store for the rest of the week. I can't believe we're going into Wednesday already. We've got lots of more shows for you on Coast to Coast AM. So I shall be right back. Solar cataclysm, that's what we'll talk about on our next Coast to Coast show with Lawrence Joseph. How about the finishing up with your open line calls, though, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, after the presidential debate tomorrow night, first one, very important, with our little Coast to Coast spin on it, we're going to have an expert on speaking the first hour. I don't want to get involved in the politics of what's going on because you get that all the time. And, you know, if you happen to have an opportunity to watch the debates, and I urge you to, you already know what's going on. But I want to get this expert on to talk about speaking and how they look and how they act. You know, remember during, those of you who do remember, the John F. Kennedy-Richard Nixon debates back in the 60s, Kennedy just did a great job. He looked good. He was crisp. He was tanned. Nixon looked haggard. You know, he had that 2-hour beard on him and everything else. It was Big difference. So we've got an expert coming on to talk about that. I think you'll find it fascinating. And, of course, we'll take your calls as well. And then Lawrence Joseph joins us as we talk about solar cataclysms on the rest of the program. To the phones we go. Let's go to John, truck driving in Tennessee. Hey, John, welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning, George.
You too, sir. Where are you driving these days?
Well, I'm local now, but about 30 years ago, George, I know you're from the Detroit area.
Yeah.
I was on I-75 between Woodhaven and Toledo. Had something unusual happen. Lost a tarp off of a flatbed trailer. One of the old canvas tarps that were really heavy.
Yeah.
So by the time I got stopped, I was maybe 2,000 feet down the road. And I'm trudging back. There's no one on the interstate. I picked the tarp up, and I'm thinking, fine, I got to walk. Thing weighs 50 pounds. I got to walk it a quarter of a mile. And, George, I'm telling you the honest-to-goodness truth. I turn around, and out of nowhere, there's a black Chevrolet pickup truck. Beautiful truck. About 1980. And the guy inside the truck motions for me to throw the tarp in the back and get in the truck. He never said a word to me. I threw it in the back of the truck, got in the cab. He smiled at me and never said a word, drove me up to my truck. I got out, threw the tarp out of the pickup onto the back of the trailer, turned around to tell him thank you, and the truck was gone.
Just gone. Just disappeared.
There was no entrance ramp. There was no exit ramp. Nowhere he could have gone. No traffic on the interstate. I looked north, and I looked south, and I thought, what in the world just happened?
A strange guardian angel.
But that's the absolute truth. It's been over 30 years, and I haven't forgotten it yet.
I love that. Great story. Truck driver stories are some of the best. Tom's got a text message for us back in the old L.A. studios, not too far from where I am. I can see him. Hey, Tommy, what do you got?
All right. From Sebastian in Ohio. George, my trust in others is usually based on what their eyes tell me. I was wondering if you ever base your decisions on people's body language.
All the time. All the time.
It's like a no-brainer.
The way they look at you, the way they act, the way they stand, the way they shake your hand, the way they sit. You know, even relationships, dates. If you've ever seen two couples together, Tom, and she is kind of like poised the other way, you know, looking toward everybody else but the person she's with. Body language is very, very important. You'll find during the debates tomorrow night, you're going to have an opportunity to watch it because you're taking notes, of course. But you will see the actions and the way they move, very important these days.
Now, what about, you brought up couples. What about, like, if you see a couple, and you know how somebody says, how does he belong with her? Because their body language is so different.
Sometimes there's this cosmic click that you and I can never understand. But it works for some people, and that's probably what's happening. Or there's undertones of other strange things going on, too.
It's called love.
Yeah, sometimes. See ya. Next up, we go to J.D. in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, J.D., you're up.
I can attest to what you said, the last thing about love, because I just got married September 22nd this past year.
Perfect. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. And my last name starts with A, and her last name starts with A, and she is from Peru, and I'm Native American, Indian, what they call us in America, Native American, Indian, indigenous people, and we translated her name into what was the origination and trying to be Creek, you know.
Yeah.
And I am Creek Muscogee Indian.
Super. How'd you meet her?
It's actually funny. We worked at the casino together.
Really?
And you know, and what was weird is because, you know, when I was a senior in high school, she was in second grade. We're 10 years apart. And we said, well, my English teacher said it's in alphabetical order. And there was a picture next to me on the wall of Machu Picchu. And I thought, oh, my goodness, that is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. And then down the road, I met her. And she goes, oh, I'm from a little country from Peru. And I go, Lima. She says, yeah, that's our capital. And, you know, we spoke from there. And, you know, to this day, well, actually, September 1st, she's my bride.
Well, good for you.
Well, thank you. But I was going to ask about has anybody had any updates from John Teeter? And if anybody has, I was going to ask, if anything, if Obamacare was going to be the start of the civil revolution from John Teeter.
Good question. We haven't heard from Teeter since he disappeared years ago, but his webmaster, Oliver Williams, we check in with. Oliver's been extremely busy these days, but we do work on him to try to get him back to do an hour or show with us and also take some phone calls. But nothing from Teeter. Teeter, whoever he was, is gone. Whether he went back to his own time period or what, he's gone. Joe's in Moberly, Missouri. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, how are you doing tonight?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. I love your show.
Thank you, Joseph.
I am a paranormal investigator.
Super. And in Moberly, which is a neat town.
It is a nice town. I love it. And, you know, as far as paranormal goes, I'm a true believer. I've got proof. I've got pictures of investigations that I've been on.
What's the most startling? And turn your radio down just a little bit, Joe. What has been your most startling investigation?
It's a private residence in Jeff City.
What happened?
I got a full-blown apparition standing right beside me.
Didn't attack you, nothing like that?
No, sir. No, sir. But years ago, when I was young, we got home one night, and we lived over around Chillicothe, Missouri, and we looked up in the eastern sky, and there was a bright light. And we got to watching it, and it was darting across the sky, every which way, just darting here and there.
Like it's under control, right?
It was under control, but if a human would have been in that thing, you'd think their neck would have got broke.
It was going that fast?
I mean, yes. And we called the State Patrol, and they sent two State Patrol to our house, and they was watching it, and they said, well, we know a guy in another small town that watches the stars, an astronomer. We'll call him. And they did so. And the State Patrolman got off the phone. He said, that man's crazy. He said it was Venus.
Venus doesn't dart back and forth.
No. And to this day, you know, I don't know what we saw, but...
Well, you know, when you look at the vastness of the universe, there's just no way that you have to assume that there are others out there. I mean, there's just no way that we're alone. Too much going on out there. Keith is in Phoenix, Arizona, west of the Rockies. Hey, Keith, thanks for calling.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
First of all, I want to thank my buddy Ryan for turning me on to your show in early March, and I've listened to you religiously six nights a week since then.
Super. That's what good buddies are for.
No kidding. He occupies my time in a informative manner.
Good.
So about, I think it was like 2.5 weeks ago on September 18th, over here in Phoenix, I'd say around the South Mountain area, I saw two orbs flying around, and they would disappear and then reappear. And then it happened three nights in a row. I don't really want to take too much time because I know other people want to call. So if you want, you could always Google it. Just Google UFO sightings Phoenix, and it comes up as it'll say the date and everything, and you can watch the video. It's not actually my video. It's somebody else's video.
Okay. And I think Peter Davenport from the National UFO Reporting Center had a lot of calls on that too, whatever is going on out there. Joe, truck driving in Oklahoma, first-time caller. Hello, Joseph. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Mr. Norrie. First time, long time, man. I really appreciate your show. And I tell you what, great work on Ancient Aliens. And I think you did a great job of that. I thank you for being a part of that.
Well, thank you.
My quick 2 points, and I'm talking about Ancient Aliens. I've never seen anybody put these two things together. When you have Ezekiel in the New Testament where he has his visions of God, and he describes the creatures and what they look like, he says they have the face of an eagle and an ox, and they have wings. Well, when you look in the Revelation, when he goes before the gods and he's at the Room of Thrones, John the Baptist, he describes the same characters. When I look at that, I see two definite similarities of two different people, two different times. It's amazing to me that Ancient Aliens, the show, the program yourself, I'm sure that you have, and they may have too, but I've never really heard those two put together in the same boat, and that to me it's like ultimate proof that there's definitely a race of people, a being. There's two similar descriptions. They almost match identically, and it's pretty amazing.
And whatever they are, they're very strange looking.
Very strange, very strange. And, again, appreciate your show. Thanks for all your time, and look forward to the future, man. Good luck.
Yep, super. We're going to be taping, I believe, year number 5 of Ancient Aliens in a couple weeks. As a matter of fact, they're going to run it on HD2, which is the History Channel's high definition channel, because they're trying to get more and more people to watch the HD2. And I might have some other interesting things for you down the pike as well. So just keep tuned to Coast AM. Let's go to Steve, truck driving in Iowa. Hello, Steven. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you doing this evening?
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, listen, I was listening earlier to one of your people talking about that Aurora, that aircraft.
Yes.
And I thought I'd throw in, about 3 years ago, I was in Salt Lake City, in the right middle of town. There was a KOA campground, and I was about 4 o'clock in the morning. I just opened my eyes, had a little bit of headache, and I was just looking up in the sky, and I could see this diamond shape just caught me off guard. I could see, or not diamond, but triangle shape in the sky. And it was sitting at a southwesterly direction. What really caught my eye is that I saw the tip of the lights where they were at in which corner actually pulsated out and stayed that way. And I thought, wow, I've never saw anything like it. But what I chuckled about it, George, was that heading in a southwesterly direction, I thought, well, maybe it's heading back to Area 51.
Well, yeah, and let me tell you, isn't it a strange feeling when you see this kind of an object? It gives you goosebumps, doesn't it?
It does. It just kind of, I mean, it's like, wow, this thing really existed. And I thought I'd share also something with you. I tried to get a hold of you. You spoke about 2 months ago. You said about the Starship Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I'd share this with you. When I was 18 years old, I had the Starship Enterprise from the TV show and the movie up, and a poster of the cutaway of the Starship Enterprise. My uncle walked in, and he says, I'm impressed. He says, you have my design up on the wall. And I go, what do you mean, your design up on the wall? He says, well, my uncle worked for NASA, and he was down in L.A. He was part of the engineering team that helped design and build our space shuttle.
I love it.
We just retired.
I love it. I had a great story, too, in my youth. I would make these model rockets, and I'd launch them. But I would broadcast the launch to the neighborhood, and my buddy Gary Frank, Gary, if you're out there, call me, because I haven't heard from you since high school. And Gary would put the little solid propellant engines in the rocket, and he'd hook up the battery electrodes. And, you know, when I did my launch cycle down to zero, he'd launch the rockets, and all the little neighborhood kids would love what was going on. Well, I go into broadcasting. Gary went to help build the engines on the space shuttle, but I can't find him. My mother still knows his mother. I guess I should try that way back in Dearborn Heights to find where good old Gary Frank is. Been a long, long time. Time for one or two more calls. We'll go to Pat in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Who's Gary?
Huh?
Who's Gary?
Who's Gary?
Did you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You got the wrong show.
I know. My mistake. It's early in the morning here.
That's okay, Tom. What's up?
Oh, well, you can call me Tom. A few years back, you had a show talking about hags.
Yes, the old hag syndrome.
Right. Just kind of wanted to relay a story.
Okay.
When I was probably 8 or 9 years old, I had a friend of mine that lived not too far from me, and we lived out in the country. And I went up there on my bicycle to go see him, and when I got up there, I noticed this bent over little old lady. She had like a dirty gray coat on and a hood.
That's the look.
And I said, when I got down there to Joe's house, my friend, I said, what's your grandmother doing? It's not even around Halloween, but she's walking around the house.
Dressed up in costume.
And he told me, he said, my mother and my grandmother went to town about an hour ago. They're not home.
He had no idea who you were talking about, did he?
No. But, I mean, this was a very scary-looking lady.
That's the old hag syndrome. Really is. I've got to run. So what's my name? Come on, Pat.
George.
You got it. Okay.
All right.
Be well. Hey, that happens sometimes. It really does. Got another great series of programs for you for the rest of the week. Wednesday, we're talking about solar cataclysms. We're going to talk with a dear friend of mine on the PK experience on Thursday, Jeffrey Mishlove, and then back to open lines on Friday. But they get a little stranger on Friday night, and I love them. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.